Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, I can't. Have you ever said those words after hearing a Bible passage and then considering what they're asking you to do? I can't. Today might be one of those days with that reading that we just heard from Matthew chapter 18. Consider some of the things that Jesus just said. Verse 3, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you that unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." I can't, you're probably saying. One, why would you want to become a child? That just doesn't work in today's climate and today's age. Two, why would you want to become a child and be humble and gentle? That doesn't work out so well. I can't. Going a little bit further, in verse 8, Jesus says another really hard saying. Jesus says this, "If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away." I can't. For one, you can realize why you'd say that, because what exactly does that mean? Two, am I really going to cut off my hand and my foot? I have a hard time overcoming sin. I can't. Going a little bit further towards the end, and Jesus says this, "If a brother sins and you find out about it, go and seek him out and share his fault just between you and him." I can't, you're probably saying. Because number one, I'm supposed to go to social media and share it with everyone when I've seen a fault or someone fail. That's the way things work today. And number two, it's just hard to have tough conversations. I can't. If we're honest to ourselves, there are quite a few passages in the Bible or teachings of Jesus where we just flat out say, I can't. But here's the thing. We actually can do the things that Jesus asks us to do. The reason why we can't, I believe, is that we go about it using the incorrect methods. Think about this for a second. Do you, when your refrigerator is dirty inside, do you clean it by focusing on what is on the outside? It's kind of silly, but think about this for a moment. You have a dirty, smelly fridge. It's really dirty inside, and it's been unplugged for, let's say, 6 days. You got that cottage cheese that is molding away. Sour milk. Ooh, don't you love that smell? And then there's yogurt smeared on the panel door. And you come up with that strategy to focus on the exterior of the refrigerator. And the strategy is that by focusing on the exterior, somehow that goodness and beauty will seep into the inside and take care of everything. So you go to work and you scrub the panel of that refrigerator with your cloth as hard as you can. You go to work and then you put up those magnets that are beautiful of all those wonderful places in Oregon. Crater Lake and Mount Hood and the Oregon coast. It's beautiful on the outside. And then you go to your restroom and pull out the perfume to your cabinet. Pull out perfume and you squirt the perfume on the outside of that refrigerator. It smells beautiful. The thought is you give it a couple of days. And by focusing on the outside, it'll just seep in. Gone will be the sour milk. Gone will be the cottage cheese that's molding. And gone will be the yogurt that's smeared. Now, you realize, and I understand, nobody's going to go about that strategy to fix what is smelly and dirty on the inside of a refrigerator. That's silly. But isn't that what you and I actually do? With the sin that we commit and the hard things that are inside of us? See, you and I, we actually have some dirty, smelly things on the inside of us. We have wounds. Maybe it was something, a past experience that really deeply hurt you, an abusive father, or a mother that really wasn't there, was absent, or a sibling that just has forgotten about you. And it's a deep, deep wound inside. Maybe it's a bad decision, something that you did in college a long time ago, or just a few years ago in high school, or maybe even elementary school. You made a bad decision. And by making that bad decision, it led to a few more bad decisions, which led to a few more, and then it opened up to a whole bunch of bad decisions. And it's deep inside of you. Or maybe it's a bad decision that someone else did that has affected your life. It's not your fault, but it's taken you down a different path. Don't we all the time focus on what's on the outside and exterior and kind of hide what is on the inside, those hurts, pains, and those sins that the Bible describes? What do? We put on a smile as if what is inside will just go away with that smile. What do? We say the right things. We know how to spin things to make them sound really good. What do? We do the right things. We look like we do everything just right. But here's the thing. Just as you wouldn't focus on the outside of a refrigerator to clean the inside, so also it's not really smart to focus just on outside of us, our external being, and not really get at what is going on inside. Now, my friends, there was actually a group of people that this was their exact spiritual existence. They had what I would like to call an outside-inside theology. On the outside, they looked really good. These people were called the Pharisees. And boy, did they look good. Their prayers were extra long and had amazing words. In fact, they said those prayers, Jesus says, throughout the Gospels, in very prime spots for people to hear them, on street corners and also in the middle of the synagogue. They also changed their clothing, even disfigured their face, so they looked on the outside like they were the real tough ones and the ones that everyone should look toward for guidance in life. They wore extra long tassels, Matthew's gospel tells us, so they stuck out. And when they went into the synagogue to give their tithe and their offering, they wanted the trumpets to sound so that everyone could see their philanthropic pursuits. In the first century, if a poll were to go out to all the people in the land about who were the people who were the most spiritual, the polling would say the Pharisees. And if there was social media back in Jesus' day, it would be the Pharisees' postings that would have the most likes in the religious section. And their books would be the best sellers. An outside, inside theology. But it doesn't really work. What we do on the outside does not just seep in and take care of our hurts and our struggles. There's got to be a different way. And there is. It's Jesus' way. It's an inside-outside perspective. And to share that with you, I would say the best example from the Bible, the opposite of the Pharisees, is a woman named Mary. Jesus' mother. She was the one who was visited by an angel and who was told that she would bear the Savior of the world. And Mary's response could have been something like this. I'm a teenager. I have my best years ahead of me. I've got some things to do. No, thank you. No, Mary said, let it be unto me. And then Jesus was deposited inside of her. Now imagine how that must have been for Mary, to have Jesus growing and developing inside of her, to have Jesus really consume all her inside, up to a point in which he basically came out and came onto the outside. You see, in this whole story of Mary, there was nothing that she necessarily did. She simply received and let Jesus go to work inside of her. Now, when you hear about Mary, you might be saying, well, that certainly can't happen to me. This is Mary. She's such an extreme example. She's the mother of Jesus. But my friends, here's the thing. When you were baptized, Jesus was placed and deposited into your heart, into your inner being. And as you receive the body and blood of Jesus this week or at peace, and when you do throughout this struggling season, know that what is being deposited inside of you is the true presence of Jesus. You see, Christians get to a point in which God is actually at work inside of them. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "It is I who is no longer alive, but it is Christ in me." You don't have to try harder. And here's the great news. You don't have to focus on your outside, your external being. Listen to those words that are shared with you this weekend, or when you come forward to the altar at church, "Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And in that moment, Jesus is deposited in you, his real presence. So do you remember those wounds that are deep inside? They're there. But also know this. Jesus being deposited in you, his love grows and grows and grows and overwhelms those wounds. Do you remember those bad decisions that you've made? They're there. They're deep inside. Well, Jesus is in you. And his forgiveness wipes away those decisions, and you are made clean. And he grows and grows more inside of you. Do you remember those decisions others made that have affected you and hurt you and the way that you look at the world? Jesus' power is inside of you. His story is your story. That story from the past that haunts you is not your story. Jesus is your story. His resurrection, his life. And as he grows more and more inside of us, he breaks out. And my friends, it's an inside-outside theology. Our outside looks wonderful and is beautiful. That's how we are cleaned as Christians. So now let's go back to our text from Matthew chapter 18. This will make it much easier, I think. These are difficult passages. In Matthew 18, lots of things are being said by Jesus in this teaching. Let's go through them real quick. In verse 3, Jesus says the difficult teaching, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You can't do that. And it's good to admit that you can't do that. But Jesus can. And he's inside of you. And his love allows us to do that. His humbleness and gentleness. We take on those attributes because he's given to us. Step a little bit further in verse 8 of our text. Jesus says, "If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away." You can't do that. I know I won't do that. Jesus can. He's at work inside of you. And through his forgiveness and strength, we can overcome temptation. You can't do it. But Jesus at work inside of you can. Now jump to that last difficult text in which Jesus says, if you find a brother at fault, and you see it, you should go to him and, and you should bring him back. You should restore him. Just between the two of you, have that conversation. You can't do that. That takes courage to have a difficult conversation. Maybe you're saying, I'm shy and an introvert and I can't do that. Or that's not politically correct to do that. You can't do it. Jesus can. He's in your heart. He gives us the power to have tough conversations and restore fellow Christians into the fold. So which way are we going to go? An outside-inside theology. That's what the world does. It's what the Pharisees did. It's what most religions do. We go the other way. We have an inside-outside way of being and theology. Jesus comes. We receive him. He grows in us, and he bursts out, and he affects our entire life. Amen. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. May he grow more and more. May we decrease more and more. May he jump out and burst outside of us so that that can be a witness to others, that they not see us, but they see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.